on digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
On your call, good morning, I'm Nicky Campbell. Right, does religion have a place in medicine? Earlier on at 5 Live Breakfast, we spoke to a GP who says it does. Dr. Richard Scott laid out his stall. He's been given a written warning for suggesting to a patient that Christianity could help cure them. The General Medical Council said he risked bringing his profession into disrepute by discussing his religion. He's now appealing against the ruling and says there's no doubt Christianity can be a cure.
This is an optional extra. Why not think about faith in Jesus? It's based on not only my own experience personally and experience of thousands of patients who come to see me, but also many studies have shown that the benefit of faith in terms of living longer, recovering from operations, getting better results from cancer. You know, the medical studies show there's good medical evidence that, faith in Jesus works.
Even getting better results in cancer. It's quite a claim. Maybe it's true. Maybe faith and belief in something does help. What do you think? Is he right? Has your faith helped you heal? Does religion have a place in medicine? Let's have another listen to... is it ready, that clip through there? To what? It will be in a second. We'll have another listen to what Dr. Richard Scott said a few minutes ago. He's been given a written warning for suggesting to a patient who wasn't a Christian that Christianity could help cure them. We're looking at faith and healing. Does faith have a place in the hospital, in the surgery? There have been cases before, of course, of nurses being reprimanded for praying for patients and so forth. But, you know, is it all part of the whole holistic approach? Quite a few is an understatement texts and tweets on this. One here, some of what he said made sense. Healing is a mix of physical, mental and spiritual angles. Anyway, this is something of what Dr. Scott said.
This is an optional extra. Why not think about faith in Jesus? It's based on not only my own experience personally and experience of thousands of patients who've come to see me, but also many studies have shown the benefit of faith in terms of living longer, recovering from operations, getting better results from cancer. You know, the medical studies show there's good medical evidence that, faith in Jesus works.
Evan Harris, former hospital doctor, member of the British Medical Association Ethics Committee. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
And Timothy James is there as well, senior lecturer in law and medical ethics, Birmingham City University, practicing Christian. Timothy, hello.
Hello.
Hello. And Adil as well from Balham. Hello, Adil, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Nicky.
Good, good, excellent. And Daniel joins us too. Good biblical name from Devon. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Nicky.
Hello there. Evan, what do you make of that? An optional, Evan Harris, an optional extra. He claims, Richard Scott there, you know, better results in recovery from cancer.
No, I mean, there's no good evidence of an impact of prayer for patients where they don't know you're praying for them. And if prayer was going to work, then it would work when you don't know that you're being prayed for. And there have been quite many studies done showing no impact, no significant impact either way. At least it's certainly not harmful and it's not helpful. And when patients know they're being prayed for, then it's very hard to avoid bias in those circumstances. So there's no convincing evidence of an impact of prayer. If there was, then there would be Nobel Prize winners galore scattered around the churches and chapels of some of the most religious cities in the world.
Okay, it's not a great line, Evan. I wish you had a landline, but we'll bear with it. Timothy James, respond to that.
If you're only convincing way of believing in anything is a randomised controlled trial, then what Dr. Harris says would be right. Of course, GPs have to rely on evidence, but they don't rely just on randomised controlled trials. You don't want to have a debate on, presumably on papers about the effect of religious faith on recovery from disease. Presumably Dr. Scott finds that in pragmatic terms this helps some of his patients, and it's on that basis he's offering that. And although Dr. Harris might disagree with him, it's difficult to see how it's unethical.
Mm. Is Evan back? Yeah. Is it unethical, Evan Harris?
Well, yes, judging by the GMC rules, which all doctors know, and the GMC guidance, that it's very clear that this doctor's practice, by his own admission, both in interviews he's given and in the reports, the interviews he's given on television and on reports, that he breaches those guidance, or at least appears to, which is why I think he's been warned by the GMC, because that guidance says that patients are vulnerable and you're in a power relationship with them, and you must make their health care your first concern. And that means, they go on to say, that only in exceptional cases where discussion of the doctor's religious views directly directly impacts on the healthcare of the patient, which is extremely unusual, would it be legitimate to talk about religion in the consultation room? And to do it as a matter of routine, as this doctor appears to do, is a clear breach of that. And it's not surprising, as he admits that he's had complaints, and he's resolved them locally, he says, presumably by apologising, and that he now had a complaint to the General Medical Council. And the reason this is necessary is that it is deemed to be inappropriate for doctors to talk about their atheism, their Christianity, Islam, socialism, conservatism, liberalism in the consultation room. If they think that people will benefit from having those discussions, they should refer them to church or the local branch of the Labour Party. They should not get involved in those conversations.
But isn't there a long way from, you know, going on to somebody about the merits of the Lib Dems, from going on to somebody about the merits of religion, how religion they believe, and faith in Jesus or whatever, whoever, is something that might help them and might help their life. Isn't that, that's a long way from saying, look, you know, join the Labour Party, isn't it?
No, I mean, the GMC recognises that the first duty is the patient's care, not your own wish to proselytise, whether it be religious or political.
But if they believe the patient will be but if they believe the patient will be better off with, yeah, with faith or knowing Jesus, is that not valid to suggest?
No, it isn't, because there isn't. It's not part of the direct health care of the patient. Firstly, there isn't evidence that faith healing works, so it's not an effective treatment. And secondly, even if the doctor feels that's the case, the risk of upsetting patients or of exploiting them and persuading them as the doctor to the patient to go to church as this doctor says he does. He says he seeks to persuade people to be converted to Christians and go to Alpha courses once he gets into conversation with them. And that is ethically wrong. It's also a question of his contract. I believe he's paid by the NHS to treat patients, not to convert them or to seek to engage in religious or ethical or political debate with them.
All right, Timothy James.
Dr. Harris is making one assumption, which is that religious belief doesn't have any impact on the patient, and we've discussed that. But he's also making another assumption, which is that the motivation behind Dr. Scott's behaviour, and he clearly knows more detail what Dr. Scott says he's been doing than I do, but the motivation behind Dr. Scott's behaviour is self-seeking, that he isn't trying to help the patient, he's trying to push his worldview. Now, Dr. Scott sincerely believes, we've no reason to believe anything else, that this is going to help the patient. If he honestly believes that's what's going to help him, how can he not raise this issue with
them?
Now, the difficulty is that Dr. Harris completely disagrees with Dr. Scott about the fundamentals, about what will help people's health.
Oh, no, okay, Evan, let me ask a question, if I may, Evan Harris. Timothy James, would you feel comfortable or otherwise if a doctor was a Scientologist and raised with a patient how that particular belief system might help his recovery, and they have very specific views about about drugs and so forth, so it's a slightly different issue, but if he was talking about
it's a good example.
Yeah, well, how would you feel about that?
If I were the patient, no problem, because I'm a fairly even in that power relationship which Dr. Harris has referred to, you know, I'm a fairly confident and articulate person. I appreciate there is a problem with the vulnerability of a great many patients. If the actual religious belief says, in effect, don't undertake health interventions, treatments that evidence shows is ineffective, I would say that, of course, the GMC should be saying that's unethical. I do not understand that Dr. Scott is suggesting that to his patients, that they don't undertake proven and effective treatments. Mm. He's suggesting this may also help them as well, and I think
this is what Dr. Scott said in his interview with Telegraph TV, which is on the net in the Telegraph's website. It says, what I do is I encourage people to come down to our local church, and they run various courses, including Alpha courses, which I'm sure you've heard about if you live in London, and of 8 patients I invite on Alpha, 2 will come, and the life of one will be considerably helped as a result. So in order to get one person to convert, he has, for each one person that converts, he has to have 7 people not convert. Now, even if there was some merit in that, that wouldn't be a really good hit rate for his sincere belief that it was effective. But I think Nikki's question was the right one. What if it was something that was Scientology or the occult or something like that? Or what he sincerely believed, that it was morally wrong for this unmarried woman to go, an unmarried woman to go to have contraceptive.
I asked him that earlier on. When he was on, and he said that he would give the proper medical advice, but he would also give them the option to go to a church meeting and to look for another way. But it's only an option. Look, hold a while. Catherine joins us from Swindon, and we'll speak to Adil and Daniel in a second. Catherine, God helped your tinnitus, right?
Well, that sounds like you're trying to make fun of me.
No, it's not. It's what it says on my screen, Catherine.
Yes,
I do apologize.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes, I was attending an event, and a rifle went off near my ear, very close quarters, and overnight I developed quite bad tinnitus, which was very distressing, as you can imagine. And yes, definitely, I did go to the GP, and I was suffering almost immediately a form of depression because of the shock of the event, and I was helped and I was given antidepressants to try and lift my mood, which is perfectly a good thing to do, but also that took a while to kick in anyway. And I was walking past the Catholic church, and the lights, you know, the candles were flickering, and I was just drawn like a moth to a flame. I had been to a Catholic convent as a child, and I've always believed and I've always prayed. And I went in, and Father Fazio, a wonderful, wonderful Catholic priest, helped me amazingly. And I was supported. And I don't feel ashamed to say that I think that people should try very hard in that respect to be supported by the Lord.
It's interesting, when I said that, you thought I was merely stating what it says on my screen.
Yes, I'm sorry, Nikki, I got the wrong end of the stick.
No, but you know, there have been surveys done that those people who have a faith are less subject to mental health issues and are less subject to depression.
Yes. Well, you may well be right, but this was such a sudden event, you see, and there is no cure. I have got used to it now. I barely hear all this noise in my ears now, so that's fine. I've also had cancer twice, and I have faith, and I've kept going. And, you know, it was just such an overnight event that I think, if I'm perfectly honest, the tinnitus actually drove out all thoughts of God, because I was in such a state of upset and panic, actually.
This is the thing, though, is if it worked for you, it absolutely worked.
And well, it did, and it was in, well, actually, I have to be perfectly honest, it was about 5 months before I reached an equilibrium, but the help of the Christian faith, you know, and the other point is, this doctor isn't actually saying, is he? You know, it is part of a Christian practice, so the people that go to the surgery probably realize it's Christian, so they shouldn't be in the least bit surprised, really, to hear something along these lines. And I think Dr. Scott sounds a wonderful man, frankly.
Evan Harris, is there such a thing as a Christian practice? Is that something that's...
There's an ethos of Christianity, I believe.
Well, I'm slightly surprised at that as well, because the local NHS contract requires doctors working for the NHS not to discriminate in recruitment on the grounds of race, religion,
and so
forth.
Well, of course, Nicky, this is only what I've read in the newspaper.
I'm not disagreeing with you. If you look at their website, it does say that all the partners are Christian, and that suggests
that's
that
rather
they
nice,
recruit.
Isn't it?
Well, not if you're an applicant for a job in that practice in the NHS, because it's all funded by taxpayers' money, and you happen to be a Muslim, and you're even though you're the best candidate.
Well, I don't think the patients would care too much, as long as they were being well looked after. And you're forgetting this country has 1,000 years history of being Christian, not Muslim, and you know that is being forgotten in this debate. We are basically a Christian country.
I don't think. I don't we're basically a white country as well. We have 1,000 years of being mainly white. That does not justify refusing people jobs on the basis of not being.
But discrimination in employment isn't what we're actually discussing.
We're not talking about jobs, are we? We're talking about
You're talking about Christian heritage.
Very good GPs helping people, and don't try and bring that down to that level. It's not simply not fair.
Timothy James, what would you feel? Adil in a second, who's a Muslim. Timothy James, another thing. What would you feel as a taxi? What would you feel if somebody was into Wicca? A doctor was into that particular belief system.
As an added option,
did a sort of something with stones or something.
It's the same question as you asked about Scientology earlier on. But
Scientology is slightly different because they have views on the medical profession, don't they? But Wicca could
I think in Christian science possibly rather than Scientology.
Scientologists don't believe in Prozac. They don't believe in anti-depression.
Take your example of Wicca. What you're saying is, what happens if the belief system of the person who was wanting to
treat not
me
yours.
Is not mine? Mm. Then the answer is, provided I'm confident that the advice he or she is giving me is sensible advice, then the fact that they also believe that something else would help me, I have no problem with denying it.
No.
Interestingly, in this case, the patient himself apparently didn't have any difficulty with the advice given. It was a family member who seems to have been deeply offended and made the complaint. So maybe the issue also has to do with the networks that we're in and how they feel about how a doctor should.
Is it? It looks like the patient complained to the mother, who then made the complaint.
No, we know that
the patient didn't object. We just don't know the facts.
So let's leave it. Let's hold fire for a second. I'll come back to you. Right, Adil, who's been hanging on the line for a while, and Daniel. Adil, thank you for waiting there patiently. Okay. Muslim, what do you think if a doctor of any faith were to talk about their faith with a patient? Is that appropriate or not?
It depends on who initiated the discussion. I mean, I think the real issue here is, you've got a situation where a doctor is effectively imposing and evangelising to people who are potentially quite vulnerable, people who may have their own faith. And, for instance, if I went to the doctor, I'm Muslim, I have faith. I believe that faith can help in healing. I've got no issues with that. I think the issue here is that if I were to go to the doctor, I have strong faith, I'm not well, I'm struggling with something, and I had somebody say to me, oh, well, your faith isn't really good enough, you need to be following my faith, because that's better. I think there's real issues here in terms of professional conduct. I think there are real issues in terms of whether that's appropriate. I think what we've got is a situation where this doctor is using his position to evangelize. Now, that's not why people go to the doctor. And there are whole issues around effectively, bias in terms of potential bias in terms of treatment. There are whole issues in terms of, just lack of understanding of people's own belief systems in terms of the way that person is behaving. And I just think it's inappropriate. Now, if I went as a patient and I initiated discussion, I said, look, I'm really struggling here. I'm feeling very down. I'm thinking about the spiritual side of things. I'm thinking about faith. You know, what's your view on that? And I initiated that conversation. And then he then said,
Have you tried Jesus?
Have you tried? This is what I believe. That's a different situation. That's not what happened here. And you had a doctor come on the radio and say, the only faith that really works is through Jesus. That's what he actually said on the radio today.
He believes.
Well, no, that's fine. He's allowed to believe it. I'm allowed to believe that Islam is the right way. And people are allowed to believe whatever.
Tom Cruise is allowed to believe that Scientology is
absolutely
the right way.
Absolutely. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. I think you're absolutely right to ask the question about Scientology, because there's a double standard then being applied in terms of how the reaction would be on the part of the public and other people. You had a woman come online saying that, you know, there's a Christian heritage country, you know, we should remember that we're a Christian country. Well, no, in London you've got kind of, you know, such a diverse range of belief systems, people having all different kinds of views. You have to respect that, and you have to kind of recognize that there isn't necessarily one view as to what's right. And I think there is one view, or there is a kind of standard view as to what's good medical practice, and that's what the GMC are about.
But Daniel's with us as well. It worked for you, Daniel, did it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me personally, I hadn't had a my problem with alcohol, if you like, but I hadn't had a drink for quite some time. But I was, for me personally, I was in a worse place, a year or so on than I was when I was drinking, because I hadn't dealt with the issues, and that's when I was then introduced, to a program, which, spiritual program. And
so it was through Jesus Christ, was it?
It was. That's why that's where I found my faith, and it's Jesus. Yeah. But what that's given me now is a way of dealing with those issues, and a peace of mind.
And if Evan Harris, somebody believes that, and somebody believes that is the answer, a potential answer, when all else is not working. Evan Harris, why not?
I mean, many people who are religious or find religion feels it benefits them. And in their case, it does. But what you can't do is then generalise from that. So let's take the lady on before, who I'm delighted has had two episodes of cancer and is still alive. You've got to be very careful when extrapolating from that, because it's self-selecting. The patients who believe in God, have cancer and die, don't come on the radio to say, God didn't help me, okay? Because so dead people don't tell anecdotes on the radio. So you've got a selected group of survivors. Secondly, there's no good evidence when you look overall that people with religious views survive cancer any better than anyone else. But there are interventions that do work, and it's very important that the doctor is focused on them and the individual needs of the patient, not the individual beliefs of the doctor. That's why the GMC guidance is very clear.
Okay.
You must make your patient your primary concern.
Ideal, you were wanting to come back. And
yeah,
I think, look, I've
got to make it clear, I'm Muslim, but that doesn't mean, if people get value out of other faith in terms of it helps them, that's great. I think the issue here is we're talking about a doctor who is using his position to evangelize, and he is effectively imposing his view on others. Now, that's the issue here. I don't have an issue in terms of people having other beliefs, other views, and people might find things that help them through all sorts of routes. And, I've known people who are Christian who've had cancer and died. I know people who are Muslim who've had cancer and died. All sorts of illnesses, this happens, that's not the point here. We're discussing, faith can help, there is a spiritual side to life, I believe that, but what I'm saying here, the issue is it right for a doctor to be imposing his specific belief system?
Okay, Timothy James, is it right for a doctor to be imposing his specific...
No. I live in Birmingham, I'm quite likely to be treated by a Muslim doctor, so Adil's points are well made. If the doctor who was treating me quoted to me from the Quran and said that the fundamental underlying problem with my health was my relationship with God, personally, of course, I've got no difficulty with that sort of conversation, because I'm familiar with that sort of conversation.
Some people aren't.
And some people aren't. And I think this is where Adil's point about imposing, Evan Harris's point about the power relationships are significant, and that's where doctors like Dr. Scott may have questions to answer, and why it's a very, very sensitive issue. But I don't agree with Dr. Harris. Sorry?
You must have questions, because the GMC guidance are quoted. You must not express to your patients your personal beliefs, including political, religious or moral beliefs, okay, in a way that exploit their vulnerability. And the guidance is very clear. You're really only entitled to get into this conversation at all if it's directly related to the health care of the patient.
Wait, Timothy James.
I'm a lawyer, and looking at the wording of that guidance, I have to disagree with him and say, it's clear. It can be interpreted the way you're interpreting it. It can also be interpreted the way that Dr. Scott is interpreting it. So,
let's explore this just for a second. And Julia, I'll be with you in a minute. How can it be interpreted the way that Dr. Scott has interpreted it? Could you explain that?
Doctors are not meant to discuss their personal beliefs with patients unless those beliefs are directly relevant to the patient's care. If Dr. Dr. Scott is correct in his beliefs that they are directly relevant to the patient care. He must not cause distress by inappropriate or insensitive expression of beliefs.
Well, if you
then tell me, James, if you believe, as many people in this country do, in reincarnation, a central part of Hindu mm-hmm. beliefs, for example, yeah. and you believe that it's relevant to the patient's care, what they may have been in a previous life, is that relevant to race?
Presumably, it is open to exactly the same interpretation, and therefore, yes, that would be so.
Right.
Effectively, what GMC is saying, don't talk about religion at all.
No, they should say that if that's what they think is true.
Well, Julia in Salisbury, allow me to bring... Julia's been waiting for ages.
Hello.
Hello, Julia. We're going to take you as a last point before we have the weather, so it's all yours.
Right. Well, some listeners have obviously had a very positive experience with GPs mentioning religion. Sadly, mine has not been so good. In the 80s, my young son was found to be deaf. My GP had the awful job of having to tell me this. He explained that he was a layperson with the local Baptist church. He invited me, shortly after he told me my son was deaf, at the same consultation, he invited me to pray with him for my son. And he invited me to bring my little boy to his church, which I did. In fact, we became quite friendly with this GP through his church. I'm sorry to say that in the 90s, this GP was prosecuted for child pornography. And this has had the most awful effect on my view of religious people and of GPs and of Christianity. I feel that if he hadn't brought religion into his workplace, into that consultation, this wouldn't have happened. But now thinking, you know, I can't help but connect him with his religion, with the church, with Christianity, and what he's done and what he was prosecuted for.
Well, it's clearly absolutely rocked your belief. But for those people who do believe, with a faith, with a sincere faith, not wicked hypocrites like that, but people who believe that this works for them and it can work for other people if you're a doctor, does religion have any place in medicine? We're discussing this. We're asking it because Dr. Richard Scott told Five Live Breakfast earlier on this morning when I spoke to him, and he's determined to clear his name after being given a written warning for suggesting to a patient that Christianity could help cure him. Here's what he said.
God sent his son Jesus to earth so that he could not only show us how to live a life, but to deal with all our sins and all the problems that we've had in life. And I've seen hundreds of patients over the years really helped by giving their problems to him. And he was the only way to deal with issues that standard Western medicine, if you like, dealing with mental and physical stuff rather than the spiritual angle of our lives, has been unable to help people.
Ted in Margate sent this text. Dr. Scott is a great doctor, does a lot of work in Margate. I've seen him many times, and his wife, who's also a doctor, wouldn't go anywhere else for treatment. I believe in faith, it does help. Frank's in Ayrshire, John's in Dumbarton. Good morning, both. And good morning to Andrea Williams. Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you, Andrea?
I'm well, thank you.
Director of the Christian Legal Centre. And Mark is there as well. Hello, Mark.
Morning.
Morning. Andrea, you're all for this, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there you heard that text from one of Dr. Scott's patients. He's very popular in the local community. And he's a great doctor who, of course, gives great medical care. But one of the things that marks him out, of course, is that he's a Christian, that he does believe that Christianity makes a difference. And he's seen many people changed as a result of putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Mm. And, of course, it's not something that he'll launch straight into, but quite naturally, often at the end of when the medical examination has been done, if it's something quite natural for him to do, person to person, then he may well explore with a patient whether or not faith might be something that helps them.
What if that patient already has a faith, but a different faith, which is the situation that we were talking about earlier? Is that appropriate?
Well, I think what's right in life is that we do talk about things that are real. I think increasingly in today's Britain, we're scared of opening up real conversations. Does your faith work for you? What kind of impact does it have on your life? Have you considered Jesus Christ? Have you considered his claims? Have you considered what many would call his transformational power? And have you considered these things? I think.
But what if a doctor were to say, "Have you considered?" You know, as they would say, "Quote: Have you considered? You know, Allah, Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him." Would you be uncomfortable with that if the doctor said that to a patient?
Well, I think what that's not the situation we're dealing with. We're dealing with a doctor talking about his own personal faith to a patient. Yes, we are dealing with Dr. Scott talking about his Christian faith, you know, the faith that has undergirded our nation for centuries.
You wouldn't be comfortable with a Muslim doctor doing the same thing about his faith to a patient?
Well, I think if a Muslim doctor were to do that, then, of course, the patient can then respond to the Muslim doctor as he or she wishes. I'm here representing Dr. Scott, and again in that particular situation a patient could respond to Dr. Scott as in this case, you know, when the patient didn't want to take the conversation any further, then Dr. Scott quietly let it go.
Mark, what do you think?
I think the doctor, in his situation, he's preying on people that are in a vulnerable situation, you know, if they're ill or alcoholics or whatever. I think, you know, churches claim Jesus has come into their lives and saved them. But if the alcoholic was to relapse and start drinking again, then the individual is blamed and Jesus doesn't come into it. He's let off the hook, as it were.
John in Dumbarton, your thoughts. Hi, John.
Hello. Well, I've worked in the health service and I have good Christians. I worked with a Catholic staff nurse and a Catholic charge nurse, and they were very good and gentle to the patients. And I had to take patients down to the local chapel on Sunday for Mass. But I'm an atheist and I'd admire Richard Dawkins, and I would be also a gay person in a civil partnership. And I'd be extremely alarmed if my doctor said to me, "Do you believe in Jesus?" I said, "No, I don't. I don't believe in Jesus or Allah, but I do believe in Richard Dawkins." And I'd say to him, "Right, according to my medical records, I am my partner's carer and I'm also in a civil partnership. That should show up on your screen. What are your views on homosexuality?" Because there have been some people in the medical profession on radio and television in the past that have claimed that homosexuality can be cured through religion, and that's dangerous nonsense. So I wouldn't be happy whatsoever. In fact, I would remove myself from that GP's list and immediately reapply to another GP, and I'd make sure the interview from the GP, I'd say, "Exactly what are your views on gay people, because I'm an atheist and in a civil partnership and I don't want religion directed at me in my old age."
Andrea Williams, what would you say to John?
Well, I think that the truth is this: a doctor is there to care for his patients, no matter what their sexual orientation, colour or creed, and to give them the best care possible. And certainly Christian doctors up and down this country consider their work as a vocation and will give the best medical care. No one can ever force Christianity upon another, but one thing we do know is that there's testimony after testimony. I believe even in Dr. Scott's church in the last week or so there have actually been baptisms of drug addicts who, as a result of putting their faith in Jesus Christ, have seen their lives healed, have seen their lives transformed, have seen their lives changed. No, these things are for real. Yes, the gentleman, the caller in there, talked about relapses. Well, we all relapse. We all make mistakes. But the good news about Christianity is that the great healer, Jesus Christ, died on the cross in order to forgive us and to always welcome us back, no matter what we've done. Christianity is a great message of hope for every person.
It's quite humorous you're talking about Christianity, because at the moment the Church of Scotland is having a terrible debate whether to accept gay people into its ranks as ministers and civil partnerships. So I'm afraid there's a lot of people in Christianity that do have a very hostile view to gay people. The Jewish civilization had a difficulty with homosexuality and adultery, but the ancient Greek civilization did not, and it didn't undermine marriage there. But I come back to the fact, in my life, I've been an atheist all my life. Even the age of 15, I pestered my biology teacher, "Can I get more biology? I hated religious."
So it wouldn't be a problem for you if a doctor said, "Have you tried Jesus Christ?" Because you can stick up for yourself. That's not a problem,
but
is it?
I wouldn't want to be in that situation. But I'd go worrying about what...
But you can deal with this. Listen, you can deal with it, John.
Would you be judging me and my partner, Andrew? Because I would feel uncomfortable. I wouldn't have confidence. I'd say, "I'm sorry, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in science, not superstition. And in fact, I don't really feel very comfortable with this discussion. I would rather I change to another GP. I would say to him, I'm sorry, I don't want religion in my life. I've fought all my life to keep it out of my life. I'm a 15-year-old school kid. Please, my biology.
All right, Andrea, so he says that to the doctor, and the doctor says, OK, I'm sorry I raised it. Let's get on with the consultation. That's fine, isn't it, Andrea?
Well, of course, and but the truth is that it wouldn't be raised in that situation. Faith wouldn't be raised, even possibly not even at all, given John's sort of reaction and the way in which he's so upfront about things. It would be very possibly unlikely. If it were raised, then John could just close the conversation down, or indeed choose another GP. And what we mustn't mix up here is, because John is raising this homosexuality issue, what we mustn't mix up here is the fact that doctors will give medical treatment to anyone, to everyone. They have to, no matter what their colour, sexual orientation or creed. I think when we talk about the Church of Scotland, there is a different matter, because that is a matter of what the Bible says about sex within marriage.
Well, I used to have a charge nurse. He said, a staff nurse said to me, sex is only for the procreation of children. And I said to my charge nurse, who was nearly in his 50s, well, no sex for you after the menopause. And that created a laugh. You can't take things literally thousands of years ago. We didn't know about hormones, we didn't know about viruses in 1919 because we didn't have medical science. The ancient civilization of ancient Judea was different in the 21st century.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, John.
Take care.
And Keith Porteous Wood now joins us, Executive Director of the National Secular Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Nicky.
God bless you.
How kind of you.
If a doctor started talking to you about Jesus, would you be angry?
Well, I'd certainly think it was grossly inappropriate, whether he was talking about religion or politics. But I think there's even worse sensitivity about religion, in that I heard what you were saying to the Scottish guy a few minutes ago, and yes, he was very self-confident, but there are a lot of people who aren't as self-confident as that, and there's a very important relationship between patients and their GP, and often the GP is the only one within travelling distance, and so it's very important that that relationship isn't disrupted in any unnecessary way. And I think by bringing religion into the discussion, I think one's forcing the patient into a very difficult position. Either they're going to say, oh, well, yes, doctor, you've told me I've got to take aspirin and Jesus is the answer as well. Yes, I'll do that, even though I don't want to, because I don't want to embarrass you. And that puts them in an impossible position that I don't think they should be put on, either professionally or you know, particularly given we're paying for this under the NHS. I think that they really must... The doctors must consider that patients have the privacy and they shouldn't be imposed on way at all.
Andrea, you think it's a matter of conveying the truth to people, don't you?
Well, I think that the doctor has to, of course, give medical treatment and ensure that that's done properly and professionally. That's exactly what Dr. Scott was doing. But very often people have long-standing relationships with GPs as human beings, part of being a human is that we're body, mind and spirit. I'm recovering from breast cancer. I was glad for all the fantastic medical treatment that I was given. I was also really glad when my GP sent me in order to get a diagnosis, having examined me and discovered a lump in my breast. I was really pleased at the end of that conversation that very naturally, I believe it took him courage to ask me whether I had faith, whether I would like to pray. That was a good thing to do, and it was something that I benefited from.
Well, David
and many other people benefited from. But I could just as easily. It was very gentle. Well, it would be easy to. It's not, you know.
What happened to you, David? I mean, your wife prayed, did she?
Yes. No, she didn't pray. She was not religious at all. But she was an intelligent woman. She was an international fashion designer. She suffered from depression practically all her life, from when I first knew her when she was 17, and understood the rhythms of depression. But at one time went to a doctor, and the doctor suggested that she pray. Unfortunately, that she felt that that was probably the last resort and that he had nothing to offer her medically or in any other way, which caused the depression to get so deep she got quite close to suicide at one point. She got out of it again years later, but she was extremely angry at the advice that the doctor had given to her to go to church and to pray. She just felt there was no medical solution and that that was his last offer.
Well, the when was this, David? When was this? How long ago was this?
About 10 years ago.
Maybe treatment for depression has come on a lot in the last 10 years.
Oh, it changed enormously over her life. I mean, we saw that, and she eventually got out of it.
Yeah.
But I just felt that she was extraordinarily angry about the doctor just suggesting that, because it took her a while to get out of the depression state to see it clearly.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, it must have felt for her at the time like, oh, there's nothing else. This is the last resort.
That's right.
Well, Frank in Ayrshire. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Nicky.
Say your piece.
Well, I totally agree with Dr. Scott. Praise God. My 10-year-old daughter, through a random check-up at the hospital, was discovered by the doctor to have had a murmur in her heart. Now, she plays football for the county and for a top football team, and obviously the news of the heart murmur devastated us. And after he'd examined her, I asked him, out of courtesy, please could you give her another examination, because I wasn't believing that she had a heart murmur. We'd never heard anything about it before. The doctor was kind enough to do another thorough 20-minute examination with her and give us a written report to say that he was convinced that there was a murmur in the apex of her heart. My daughter and I both prayed there and then. Went home, sat my wife down, told her what we'd been told.
Did you pray with the doctor?
We prayed in the practice. The doctor was aware we were praying, but that's what we believe. We believe in prayer. And went home, sat with my wife. Family, we prayed. The following morning, my wife took my daughter to see our own doctor, and he gave her a thorough examination, and praise God, the murmur had gone, and he advised her that she could continue to play football at any level that she wished, and we've had no reoccurrence or anything. We just believe in God for that.
Lots of people pray and it doesn't work, though.
Well, just continue to pray, I believe.
It doesn't always work, though, does it?
Well, everything's in God's time, Nicky, I believe.
Mm. Keith Porges Wood.
Well, I think it's breathtakingly embarrassing for a patient to have to say, sorry, I don't accept what you believe, and it sours the relationship. And the insensitivity of this man when he's admitted that he's had many people who haven't taken his advice, you actually hear that he's been having
asking you about Frank and Ayrshire's story. You're ignoring it. They prayed and she got better.
Well, maybe it was, as you said yourself, there are plenty of cases where people pray with enormous sincerity and they don't get better, and I think we would need to see get some independent medical advice as to what had happened and who was right and who was wrong.
Really,
and whether there's any...
I have got a report from the GP. I have the report which was written up by the doctor who diagnosed it, and I have a report from the doctor who said it had gone.
And have we got a report from somebody else saying that that it was prayer that was the cause of the remission?
I believe. I don't need a report for that, because I've got written evidence it was there, and when I prayed it wasn't.
Well, I don't think we can necessarily assume from just this information that it was the prayer that caused it, or whether there was one misdiagnosis of the murmur being there or the murmur not being there. I think the jury's out on that.
Well... The idea is, I asked for a second opinion, I was given a second opinion.
Frank?
Yeah?
She's playing football, though, and it's wonderful.
Thank you.
So whatever happened, she's well, and that's fantastic news.
Yeah.
And it's
God bless you, Nicky.
Testimony, isn't it? It's a faith testimony, and you can want to believe or not.
Well, thanks, Andrew, we're out of time, but as ever, it's been very nice having you on the programme.
Good to be with you, Nicky.